Thank you, Bill, for leading us in the singing. It mentioned this morning that we're going to, yes, be talking about what I believe to be a very important subject, simply because there are so many people today that believe in what is called the rapture. So what do you know about the rapture? What have you heard about the rapture itself? There's a very popular best-selling book and also DVD series that I'm sure that many of you have seen and heard before, and it's called Left Behind. And it's written by Tim LaHaye and also Jerry B. Jenkins, and they are basically talking about the end times. They are talking about prophecy. And in these series of books, you realize that there is one particular word that is mentioned over and over and over again, and that is the word rapture. I understand the reason behind it. I understand the reason why they might use that terminology, but you might be asking the question, well, what does the rapture actually mean? The rapture simply has to do with the coming of the Lord. And because He comes, people are anticipating this coming, and that's true, and I want you to know that I'm anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ. But at a moment when Jesus Christ comes, there will be those who are going to disappear. And they are going to disappear because they believe that if you are saved, you are a Christian, then at a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when you least expect it, then you are going to be raptured or taken away into the air. And you're going to experience glory. And you're going to also experience a time in which you will spend with Jesus Christ in the air. And that's the reason why you see these bumper stickers everywhere. In case of the rapture, this vehicle might be unmanned. Now just think about it. If you are in an airplane and the pilot is a Christian and saved, then you're in trouble if the rapture comes or if Jesus comes according to them. Now, I want you to know that I believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I also have to look at these terms and terminology that are used by individuals religiously, and do these terms really match up to what the Bible actually says? What does it mean when it says, or when they say, well, the rapture is near. It's going to happen. It's going to be a reality, and you need to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. The word rapture comes from a Latin word, and it means to be caught up. And the reason why they say that, or the reason why they use that word, even though you do not find the word rapture in the Bible, it's not in the New Testament. They will go to a passage. It's going to be our main passage for tonight. And I want you, if you will, to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and begin in verse 13 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. He says in the text, and I want you to see this, and I want you to pay very close attention to the wording. He says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive," notice that, "and remain until the coming of the Lord will be by no means precede those who are asleep, those who are in the grave." There are those who have died previously, obviously. And there are those who are still alive. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, those who are in the grave. Then we," if you're alive, by the way, "and remain shall be caught up together with those who are in the grave, together with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always," notice he says, "be with the Lord." Now, when you look at this text, there's a lot that can be said about this. We don't have time to look at every aspect of what Paul says here. But is it true when individuals like Tim LaHaye and others who teach this terminology or this doctrine or this belief based from this text, and they use the word rapture? In order to have a broader understanding of this particular word and this doctrine's belief, yes, I'm going to have to admit something to you tonight. Yes, you'll look at this text and you can read it for yourself just like I've read it to you. But you're also going to have to make a study, a personal, individual study of Revelation chapter 1, or rather 20, verse 1 through 4. And with that, then you can have a better understanding of this particular doctrine. But you see, we don't have time, and maybe next Sunday night, maybe we'll look at Revelation chapter 20 in more detail. But to do this subject justice, you're going to have to look at both. Both of these texts, and both of them are crucial to their belief about the rapture. Now, the initial rapture that they believe in is simply this. That there's going to be the living. And if you are dead, if you are saved, then you are going to be, as they say, raptured. Then, after that, there is going to be a time in which Jesus comes back again after a period of time. 7 years, by the way. And during that 7 years, there's going to be what is called the tribulation, the great tribulation. And when that happens, then there's going to actually be a period of 1,000-year reign on this earth when Jesus will establish His kingdom on this earth, for 1,000 years. And the reason why is simply because He was unable to establish His church, or rather His kingdom, while He was here on this earth. He was not allowed to do that. And so He's coming back again, and He's going to establish a reign of 1,000 years on this earth. And then you will have the resurrection of the lost and a final judgment in the end. And that's called the White Throne Judgment. And during this millennial reign of Christ, at that time, as I said, there's going to be a period of tribulation. And during those 7 years that He is gone, He's come, He's taken His saints, and now they're with Him in the clouds in the air. During that time on this earth, there is going to be 7 years of tribulation. But by the way, they are also divided on that as well, because some say, no, it's pre-tribulation. Some say, no, it's mid-tribulation. Some say that it's post-tribulation. What do you mean, David? Well, before the 1,000-year begins, there's going to be this tribulation. Or during the millennial reign, there will be this tribulation that takes place, or this mid-tribulation. But most of them believe in what is called the pre-tribulation. Before the 1,000 years actually happens, there has to be this tribulation period that you will experience if you have not been taken up, caught up, or raptured with Jesus Christ. And after that 7 years, you're living, of course, with Christ in heaven. And then you're going to be arrayed in your incorruptible bodies, and you will be joined with the Lord, and you will come down. And then you will fight the battle of Gog and Magog in Jerusalem. And you will defeat the enemy and the Antichrist. And then Jesus will establish His physical reign, His kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. As I mentioned just a moment ago, it's called premillennialism. And most evangelicals, most individuals in the world today, and the major denominations that I know of, that you know of, believe in what is called premillennialism. That means that Jesus is going to establish His kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, this is not something that's new, by the way. Irenaeus in A.D. 130 and living to 200 A.D. believed in this doctrine. And believe it or not, this belief actually fueled the Crusades in the, well, 1097 and also in 1270. Do you realize that Alexander Campbell actually believed in a post-millennial You see, when you think about this particular doctrine or this belief, there has to be a clearer understanding of what this actually means. Now, I want to read this to you. I want to take the time to do this because this is, in a nutshell, what I received from them and what I have written down based on what I have studied for many, many years. It goes like this. Talking about the rapture. It means the secret catching away of the church, that's what they say, the resurrected and living saints who will rise from the earth to meet the Lord who has secretly appeared in the air just before the beginning of a great tribulation period on earth. This tribulation period is the last 7 years, at the beginning of which the literal Jews shall have returned to their land in unbelief. And at that time, which time, they have either rebuilt their temple or in the process of rebuilding it. So they're going to have to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. In unbelief of Christ, they will enter into a 7-year agreement with the Antichrist. After 3.5 years, the true nature of the Antichrist will be revealed. He will stop the daily sacrifices which have been resumed and have its own image set up in the holy place. The devil and his angels are then to be cast into the earth, having great wrath, because their time is short. During final 3.5 years in Jerusalem, to be trodden under the foot of men. A third of the Jews are to assemble in Jerusalem. The nations are to unite against the city and overcome it. Great suffering is to be inflicted on the inhabitants, and half of them are to be carried into captivity. And those remaining are to turn to Jesus, the kings of the earth, and gather the battle against Jehovah and Christ. When this occurs, the Lord and his saints descend to deliver the faithful and destroy the enemy. When Jesus is revealed, he breaks the power of the Antichrist, bringing the tribulation period to a close. And then they say, the martyrs during the tribulation period are then to be raised to reign over the earth with Jesus and their fellow saints, and a millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, which is to be set up with Christ and his return to the earth. Now, that's, in a nutshell, what they believe and what I've said to you already before. Now, here's the thing. If we're going to be true to the text and true to the Bible, then it just seems to me that we're going to have to look at it objectively and clearly and with an honest heart, and we've got to ask the question, David, or you can ask the same thing, do you see any kind of problem when it comes to what we just read together? Well, there's some problems. I don't know of any scripture in the New Testament, by the way. I don't know of any scripture in the Old Testament where it says that Christians are anticipating a special Christ-only rapture or 1,000-year reign before the resurrection, the judgment of the dead. I don't see Jesus talking about this specifically. And I don't see Paul talking about this in any of his epistles, any of his writings. You can't find it. It's just simply not there. It's not until you get to the last part of the book of Revelation, as I said a moment ago, in chapter 20, where it begins, and yes, it does mention the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we can't deny that. We just can't do that. Because it's there in black and white. But there's a reason why John mentions and uses that terminology. And yes, it's very symbolic, we understand that, and also it's very figurative in nature as well. Again, I've got to do it justice, I'm just not able tonight to look at it specifically. I simply want to look at it from a different standpoint, and yes, we can look at it later on. But here's the point. The Bible speaks of one universal resurrection and one judgment of both the righteous and the wicked on the last day at the same time. Now that's a proposition. That is a supposition. That is a position that I have stated to you And if you're going to make a supposition, then it's up to you or up to me to prove it. There has to be some degree of evidence. And so you have to ask the question, do we have scripture for this? One way or the other, they're either right or I'm right in my study. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you their supposition. Their main supposition is basically 6 points. Number one, that God made promises to literal Israel that are not yet fulfilled. Number two, that Jesus is returned to this earth in the air, but He's going to return and it's going to be secret. Number three, that a kingdom age on the earth is to follow the church age on earth. Number four, that the church will be caught away secretly to join the Lord in the air. And then number five, that the saints will be in the air, notice, for 7 years while this tribulation is on earth. And then number six, that Jesus and the saints will return to this earth to gain victory and set up a millennial kingdom. Now please remember that when you use the word rapture here, it is very vital and very important to their thoughts and their beliefs, and especially to the doctrine of premillennialism. It is connected. It is their supposition. And if you can prove, by the way, that the word rapture or their concept of being caught up is wrong in any way, then you destroy their supposition, and then they have to, if they will, give up that position. But remember, their key to all of this is their belief about the word rapture. Now, I'm looking for the truth. I'm not sure what you're looking for. I know what you're looking for. I'm pretty confident that you're looking for the truth. That's what I'm seeking. I'm not seeking my own opinion or what I think about it. I'm seeking what the Bible actually says about this subject. Now, when I look at my Bible and I read this text that I just talked to you about and read for you, and hopefully you read it too, I believe this. I believe that Jesus is coming a second time, and I believe you better be prepared, and it ought to be a joyful moment. We just read that. We just sang that a moment ago. And the reason why is because you are prepared and ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you are saying, I hope He comes soon. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the suffering. I'm tired of this and that. And I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready to live with Jesus in heaven. So I believe in the resurrection. But I also believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. That yes, we will meet Him in the air. And yes, we will forever be with Him. But their whole supposition lies upon the fact that they believe, listen, they believe that when Jesus Christ comes again, His second coming, that it's going to be secret, and some people won't even know what happens until they look around and realize, well, he was sitting here and he was driving this car no longer there any longer, and we're in trouble because there's nobody behind the wheel. And you're going to realize, though, something's happening, something's going on. That's their supposition. That's what they believe. Folks, there is going to be a coming. But when Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, comes again, it's not going to be in secret. And the reason why, let's go to the text again. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with what? With a shout. And with the voice of the archangel. And the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. It's going to be a trump. It's going to be a shout, he says. It's not going to be in secret. David, do you have another verse for this? Yes. Look in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and notice what Paul says beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all, notice he says, be changed. Now notice verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will what? Will sound. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Doesn't sound like secret to me. No, you're going to know when Jesus Christ comes again, I guarantee you. And when Jesus Christ comes again, Peter tells me in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 8, and you'll notice verse 10, 11, and 12, he tells us when Jesus comes again, he makes it very clear that every element will be dissolved with fervent heat, talking about this very earth in which we live. Therefore, there is to be one resurrection of those in the grave to one judgment. There's going to be one resurrection, and there's going to be one judgment. And the reason why I know that is because it's simple. When Jesus is on this earth, remember in John chapter 5, verse 28, 29? Jesus in His own words says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice. How many people? All who are in the grave. And come forth, there it is, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So you have the righteous and the unrighteous at the same time, hearing His voice, coming out of the grave. Not secretly, not separately, not at different times, by the way, but Jesus said at the very same time. David, do you have another verse? I want you to look in the book of Acts, chapter 24. My friend, if you don't understand what this means, I don't see how you can't. If you'll notice in Acts chapter 24, verse 15, he says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept. This is Paul talking to Felix, by the way. That there will be a resurrection, notice, of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Not just one group, not just the saved, but the just and the unjust. Both are going to come out of that grave, and there's going to be a judgment. One resurrection and one judgment. Oh, by the way, if you're still alive when Jesus comes, you will also be changed, and you will also face the judgment at that particular time. In my study over the years and looking at this, based on their own wording and based on their own beliefs, they don't only believe in just one judgment and two judgments and then three judgments. They actually believe in five judgments. First, they believe in the judgment seat of Christ. That means when those who are raptured, they say, are taken up, that's when they're going to receive their reward, judgment. Number two, is the judgment of Israel when it's regathered in the second half of the Great Tribulation. That's number two. Number three is the so-called, they say, sheep and goat judgments of the Gentiles who have survived the tribulation period. Four is the judgment of the Old Testament saints. And then, fifth, the great white throne judgment of the lost. They say in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 7 through 10. Now, folks, Let me give you a passage. If you're writing down anything tonight that you need to write down to prove to your friend or neighbor or loved one in a loving manner, in a respectful way, to show them the truth about what the Bible teaches, that it's not going to be something that's secret, and it's not going to be something that's divided. Oh, just the righteous are going to be raised and changed and judged. And then later on, the lost will finally be judged. There's a passage. And if you're writing it down, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12. And in your Bible, many times you will see a reference at the top of that, whether it's a chapter or whether it's a paragraph. Mine has one. Oh, by the way, they're not inspired. And the heading simply says, Prophecy of the End Time. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 1 of chapter 12. Are you listening? At that time, Michael shall stand up. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who was found. Notice verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall be awake. Did you notice the Hebrew word there for many? What are you talking about? Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Abhorrence. So, in the Old Testament, even Daniel speaks of those who will be raised, who are in the grave, and in the grave you have two individuals, those who are saved or those who are blessed to everlasting life. And those who are contemptible to everlasting abhorrence. Pretty clear to me, my friend. We already read what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. All those who are in the grave will hear His voice. And then He divides them and says, yes, hey, there are going to be those who hear Him. And yes, there's going to be this resurrection. All will hear, all will be raised. And will be those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. Now turn to Revelation chapter 1 and notice what Jesus says. Notice what John says about this subject. John says He is coming in clouds. And every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. It doesn't sound secret to me that when Jesus Christ comes back again, that secretly there are going to be those who are going to be caught away. No, you see, there is going to be one resurrection of the dead and only one judgment, which every soul will face that judgment that they all will understand at that moment in their life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. Notice, at His appearing. And so when He appears, when He comes, He's going to judge the living and the dead. So those who believe in the rapture, place the Lord in His coming, and the final judgment, 1,000 years apart. That's not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, if you look at it closely and realize, Jesus not only comes one time, and He did that, of course, the first time He came to this earth and died for us on the cross, not only will He come back a second time, but then they teach He's going to have to come back a third time. After that 7-year period, He's coming back with His saints of this earth to establish a 1,000-year reign. Do you find that anywhere in the Bible a third time? Well, David, there must be some place in the Bible. There's got to be some place where the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be for a second time. Do we have a verse? Write it down. Hebrews chapter 9, and we know verse 27. It is appointed to men once to die, and then the judgment. We all know that verse. That can be a scary verse, by the way. But notice what he says in verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for Him. Eagerly. And He will appear, notice he says, a second time. Not a third time, not a fourth time, not a fifth time. But it says black and white in this text, write it down, a second time, not a third time. If you believe in the rapture like they believe in the rapture, then you have to believe that Jesus is coming and must come not only a second time, but He has to come back a third time. There's nowhere in the Scripture that says that. You know, when I looked at my Bible, it's very clear that Jesus is going to come back. And when He comes back, the Bible makes it very clear it's going to be on the last day. John chapter 6, he says in verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of my Father who sent me, I should lose nothing that shall raise Him up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have," notice, "may have everlasting life, and I will raise him at the last day." Then go down to verse 54. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day." Jesus is coming, but it's going to be that last day. I've just given you five reasons why the supposition that they set forth that says that there's going to be a rapture and it's going to be secret and only those who were saved are going to be caught up and be with the Lord for 7 years, and then after that 7 years they will come back to this earth and establish a 1,000-year reign. Well, we just destroyed their supposition. And I wish that everyone had the opportunity to hear this particular sermon, because not just because of me, but because of what the Word actually says on the subject. Because you see, when Jesus comes again, there will not be anything secret about it at all. You will know. And you'll hear His voice. You'll hear the trump. It's either going to be a fearful thing or it's going to be a happy moment. And when He comes, there's going to be one resurrection. There's going to be one judgment. And when He comes again, this old world in which we know the Bible teaches will have its end, will be dissolved. And whether we like it or not, we are living in the last age. We are living, hoping that Jesus will appear, that Jesus will show Himself. And you go back to the text in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 28. Did you notice what the writer said there? He says, they eagerly wait for His appearing. If you're eagerly waiting for something, it's with great anticipation, with great joy, to be able to see your Savior, Jesus Christ, and to meet Him in the air, and to experience that change of your body if it's in the grave, in the twinkling of an eye. What a moment. It is coming. It is a reality. And I hope you're ready. If you're not a Christian, you're not ready tonight. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're not ready. If there's sin in your life, in your heart, and you need to repent of it. Privately, do it. If there's something in your life, sin, that you know that you have publicly brought reproach upon, not only yourself, but also the body of Christ, do something about it. I'm struggling with sin, David. I'm struggling with doubt, with temptation. I don't want to fall in that direction. I need your help. I need your prayers. We're here. We're ready to receive you. As we stand and sing the song, will you come right now?
I did go home by the way of the cross. There's no other